I understood that you want us to discuss things that have to do with the world to come.
Yes.
Olam haba. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll begin with a quick story, and then we'll discuss the importance of discussing Olam haba and understanding it, and we'll see where we go from there.
Okay.
There's a shul in Har Nof called Devir HaKodesh, and there was a Jew who lived in Har Nof called Rav Dvir Dikhovsky, and he was a neighbor of Rav Neria's. Rav Neria knows him.
Right.
Now, Rav Dikhovsky had a heart illness. I don't know if it was heart disease or I don't know exactly what his illness was. They couldn't treat him here, so they flew him to the United States. And in the United States, when he got there, he went into a coma. They didn't even get to treat him. He was out. The doctors told the wife, "We can't operate. We can't help him because it's over. There's nothing we could do. Whatever we do, will kill him. We can't help him now." So he was lying there in a coma, and his wife, Rivetzin Dikhovsky, started making phone calls to the yeshivas where he taught and the yeshivas where he learned, and everyone she knew, and asked them to daven for him. So all over Israel, people were davening for him.
Before we go on, we have a friend, I don't know if you've seen him, Conrad. His grandma is ill now.
Let's learn for her sake.
He asked us to
to
say
something.
Yeah, what's your name?
I'm waiting for them to call me and tell me because I don't know what they call me.
Seda. Seda, so let me know. Ms. Hachem will learn this chuta.
Okay.
So Rav Dikhovsky was lying in a coma. She called all the different yeshivot where he learned and where he taught, and they all started saying tehillim for him. And then we have in halacha, it's brought from the Sefer Charedim, that a person, when they're ill, one of the things we can do is we could change their name.
Yeah.
And
the
Gemara says that there are certain things that change a person's din in Shemayim. Shinui Shem, Shinui Makom, change place where you live, Tshuvat, Tfilat, Tzedakah. There are things that change a person's din. We know Shinui Shem, when Avram was Avram, he could not have children. When he became Avraham, he could. Sarai could not have children, Sarah could. So when a person changes their name, in Shemayim it changes everything. So he was lying in a coma, and the rabbis made a mishaberach, and they changed his name to Dvir. And Rav Dikhovsky became Rav Dvir Dikhovsky. He's lying in a coma, and she's sitting next to him, crying and davening, and day after day. And then one day, he suddenly says, "Lo amut ki yechye." And he's quiet. She looks at him, "Lo amut, I won't die." The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Lo amut," we say it in Halel, "Ki yechye va'asaper ma'asei ya." I won't die, I will live, and I will tell over the actions of Hashem. So, he said that half sentence, "Lo amut ki yechye," I won't die, I will live. And she looked at him, he's still in a coma. She called all the doctors, they come, they look, they say, "Lady, it can't be. It's over, can't be." So they come, they start checking, and they see that something started moving by him. Another day, some time passes, and he comes back. And when he came back, his wife told him, "You know where you are?" He said, "Yeah." She said, "You know, you weren't so well." So he said, "I know." And she didn't want to tell him that he was so sick that they changed his name. So he said to her, "I know I was ill, and I know that in Israel they changed my name to Dvir." So she said, "What do you mean you know? How do you know?" So he said, "When I went into a coma, I was on the verge of dying. And they brought me up to Shemayim to the Beit Din, and they brought me before the Beit Din, and I started begging them, 'Give me more time.' And the Beit Din said, 'Why?' So I said, 'I have a wife.' They said, 'Other people have wives, that's not a reason not to die.' I said, I have children. They said, other people have children. That's not a reason not to die. I said, I have students. I teach Torah. They weren't convinced. And then I said, if you let me live, I'll go back down and I'll tell everyone that I was up here in court and that all of this happened. And then the court said, ah, that's different. And that's when I opened my mouth and I said, if you're willing to accept that claim, lo amut ki yechye. What's the end of the pasuk? Va'asafir ma'aseya. And I will tell over how Hashem's actions. That's what I said when I was up there. That's when you heard me talk down here below. And I saw the people davening for me. And I saw that they changed my name. That's why I know my name is Dvirna. So he made it out of the hospital. He lived for about another year after the doctors thought it was over. And he wrote this down. And he went and he said it over. He kept his promise. He went around to Batei Midrash and he told what happened to him and he wrote it down. Rav Neria knows him. And they changed his name to Dvir. And that's why they have the shul in Hanof, Dvir HaKodesh. That's the shul that's named after him. When he did pass away, so they named the shul after him. Now, when we discuss Olam Haba, when we discuss things about after death, so we have to know why is it important to discuss it. So we all know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says, Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer, Istakel b'shlosha dvarim, ve'en ataba lidei avera. Akavya ben Mahalala was a big, big tzaddik. He was one of the greatest rabbis in the time of the Mishnah. And he said there are three things that a person should take note of, and then he won't come to sin. Da, a person has to know. Me'ain bata, where do you come from? Where does a person come from? Nothing. One drop. We know today, but in the Mishnah they already said. Where does a person come from? From one drop, a little thing, and then that develops into a baby, into a whole human being. We all started with that little drop. Ve'lan ata olech, where are we all going? Ultimately, we're going to be buried. We had over here this week, one of the wealthy people in Jerusalem passed away. So we have a guy in the Kollel who's in charge of fundraising, and he does a lot of chesed. He helps women who are widows and orphans, and he does a tremendous amount of chesed all day long. So he came back from the Levaya. He said, guys, I was just there. They buried him. He didn't take one penny into the grave with him. I promise you, I was there. He didn't take a penny with him. The only thing he took were the ma'asim tovim, the good actions which he did. If we'd only think where we're headed, lana ta'olech, so that's one of the things, if a person thinks about it, it gives him perspective. What should I do with my life? V'lifnimi ata atid liten din v'cheshbon, and who are we going to give? Who's going to judge us ultimately? Who are we going to have to explain our actions to? The Ramban had a student named Avner. You guys heard about Avner? Avner. Shalom, shalom. You speak English also better than Hebrew? English is okay? Should we stay in English or go to Hebrew? English. Okay. So Avner was a student of the Rambans who became, he left Judaism and became a Christian priest. And then he became bigger and bigger in the church. And one year, it was Yom Kippur, and this guy who used to be known as Avner sends some of his men to the Ramban in Shul, and he tells them, bring the Ramban before me. So they pull the Ramban out of church on Yom Kippur, out of synagogue, and they bring him into the church on Yom Kippur. And he had some issues that he wanted to discuss with the Ramban, political issues about the Jews in the town, etc. And when he finished the discussion, Avner looked at him and said, you know I once was your student. The Ramban says, yeah. And Avner says, you know why I left? The Ramban says, no, I don't. So Avner says, the reason I left was because you taught us the Parsha of Ha'azinu. What is the Parsha of Ha'azinu? Parsha of Ha'azinu is the song just before Moshe ends the Torah. Moshe writes a song for the Jewish people in which he tells them, I want you to know, the heaven and the earth are going to be witness that ultimately when you sin, you will be exiled from the land of Israel. God demands of you, even when times are tough, He still demands of you to keep the Torah. and God is still going to be with you. And this song is testimony that I told you this is what's going to happen. I told you you will be exiled. And I told you that you still have a future and you'll still make it back. So it's a long song about the greatness of the Torah and the greatness of the Jewish people and the downfall of the Jewish people, and we'll make it back. That's Parshas Hazino. I think it's all 52 psukim. It's not a long parsha, but that's the song of Hazino. And when you taught us that song, Avner said, you said to us that every Jew appears in that song. Every Jew's life is described in that song, because that song is the song of the future of the Jewish people, and every Jew appears in that song. And I refuse to accept that one song with all of 50 verses, 50, 52, I don't remember the number, such a short song could have everyone in that song. And I say, where does my name appear in that song? And when you said that, I said, it's all nonsense, ridiculous. And ever since then, I left. You guys know the story?
No, but I can hear what, like...
So, Avner said, if you'd show me where my name appeared, then I'd rethink my decision. So the Ramban went off to the corner and started davening. He said, Hashem, show me. Where does Avner appear? I don't know. I have to daven. Hashem should show me where. What is this concept that every one of us appears in a song, in the song of Hazino? Doesn't say every one of us appears in Bereshit, creation. Every one of us appears in the Ten Commandments. Every one of us appears in the end of the Torah. No, in the song. Every Jew's life exists in that song. What does that mean? What is a song? A song is when a person has exceptional happiness. He connects. Every person's life is supposed to...
Hello. Condon. Sí, para ver si hacíamos algo aquí. Sí. A ver. ¿Cómo es el nombre? ¿Cómo? Ya.
Jale Abad, ¿qué?
Ajá.
Jale Abad.
Bat. Primeta Zelna. Zelda. Zelda. Ok. Bueno.
Ok. So,
dale, ¿tú cómo estás? Ah, qué chévere. Bueno, me alegro. Hablamos ahorita. Oh.
So our learning should be for the Fuat Shlema of Conrad's grandmother,
yes.
Chaya Leah Bat Primeta Zelda. Every person's life can be a song. We're responsible to make our life a song. And the concept of a song stems from overwhelming happiness. How could you be so happy with life? Like the Msilat Yesharim writes, you live in this world and you see the difficulties of the world, you have to believe there's a better world to come. Because this world is too difficult for the whole point of the creation to be just this world. How does a person live in this world and sing? We're going to see the Ramban's answer and Avner, what Avner did with that answer. In a minute, we'll get back to that. Mishenichnas Adar, when Adar enters, Malbin Besimcha, we have a lot of happiness. How? Why are we supposed to be so happy now in Adar? What's so special about Adar? Why not Kislev? Kislev is 8 days. Why not Tishrei? Tishrei has the Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, so many Chagim. The whole month of Tishrei, are we happy? No. Adar. What's special about Purim? What's special about Purim? Our sages tell us, Ezu Ashir Hasamech Bechelko. When are you rich? When you're Samech Bechelko. A person who is happy with his portion. Chelko, meaning I don't have everything. Enita kol. I have a chelek. I have a portion. But am I happy with that portion? How could I be happy? He has better looks than me. He's stronger than me. He has more money than me. Why should I be happy with my portion? Why? Look all around. Why? I should be happy with my portion? Ezu Ashir, when is a person rich? Hasamech, if he's happy, bechelko, with his portion. How could we be happy with our portion? That happiness can only come when we recognize that Hashem is the one that's running the world. Hashem is the one that decided exactly what strengths and weaknesses I should have. I have false teeth. Hashem decided I should have false teeth. When I was 13 years old, a car hit me, broke my teeth. Now I have false teeth. I'm balding. Hashem decided I should be balding. It's not bad. I'm happy with it. Ezu Ashil, when are we wealthy? If we're happy with the portion Hashem gave us. Hasameh b'chelko. If you're happy. But how could you be happy? When you recognize He's here. And if you think about it, this concept of being sameh b'chelko, being happy with one's portion, that not only brings us l'olam haba, it also makes this life better. Think about it. A person has a son. Gives him everything he wants. Is that boy going to be happy? This past Shabbat, my children asked me for chocolate. I had a big bar of chocolate-covered marzipan. I went to the closet and I looked at the bar and I said, let me try something. I said to the kids, I'm going to give you a very small piece of chocolate, but it is going to be the most delicious chocolate you ever tasted. The kids said, really? I said, yeah, but it's very, 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 very small. So the children said, okay. I said, now you wait in your room and I'm going to the kitchen, I'll go get the chocolate. I went to the kitchen, I took out a knife, and I cut the thinnest slice of chocolate I could cut. I cut it as close as I could to the edge. Thin, 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 thin. One slice, two slices, three slices. I came out and I gave each one the thinnest slice. They took it, they put it in their mouths, and they danced around the room singing they got the best chocolate in the world. Why were they happy? Because they were sameach b'chelko. If I would have taken out the bar and said, okay, now let's divide it. You get this, you get this. But she got the bigger piece, he got the bigger piece. When everyone gets a very, very small sliver, that's all it takes to have a good taste in the mouth. You don't need the whole bar of chocolate. A very, very small piece. But they were sameach b'chelko. When a person has a child, and, you know, I live in a very, very small apartment. My whole apartment is a little bit bigger than this whole room. And Baruch Hashem, I have three children. And we have guests. This Shabbos, we're going to have 15 to 20 guests. My grandmother taught us a rule. A person's home is as big as their heart. The size of the house has nothing to do with how big the house is. Some people live in a mansion, and they don't have room for guests. They don't have room for kids. I have to clean. I have to take care. I have to buy. The size of a person's home is the size of his heart. And the same thing, the size of a person's happiness. There's a story about a king who was once sick. And the doctors told him, they said, the only way you could become cured is if you find the happiest man on earth and take his clothing. You know the story? So the king went around looking, who's the happiest man on earth? Every person he could find, he'd ask, are you happy? Are you as happy as can be? No. If this were different, I'd be happier. If this were different, I'd be happier. Every person he met wasn't completely happy. So he sent out all his servants searching for the happiest man. And finally they found him. They found a man sitting on a rock, singing. They asked him, are you happy? Yes. Do you need anything else in life? No. You're so happy? Yes. They bring him before the king. And the king asks the servants, after he interviews the man, he says, I know you dressed him in royal clothing to bring him before me. But when you found him, what clothing was he wearing? I have to take those clothing. They told him, Your Majesty, you won't believe us. He said, oh, tell me, what was he wearing? He was naked. Happiness is not a question of, do I have this or that? Happiness is a question of my sameach b'chelki, and the way to be sameach, how can I be happy with my portion? When I recognize that Hashem gave me the portion. What is Esther? What is happening in Megillas Esther? Hashem tells us, you're going to go out to Galut. We go out to Galut. When we get to Galut, you know what the Jewish people said? They said, if a husband divorces his wife, does she owe him anything? Can he ask her, make me breakfast? You divorced her. Goodbye. Gamanu. God divorced us. He kicked us out of the land of Israel. What does he want from us? Why should we keep the Torah? Life is difficult. Life is so tough. Why should we keep the Torah? You know that a lot of the Jewish people were sold into slavery. They were avadim. They were slaves. A lot of the Jews were slaves. So they came to the Navi Yechezkel and they asked him, why should we keep the Torah? If Hashem kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael, Hashem doesn't love us. We're not the chosen people anymore. Yechezkel said, no, that's not so. There was once a king. He had a son. And that son misbehaved. And so the king wanted to teach the boy a lesson. So he put him out in the forest all alone. And the child started walking around the forest and he was scared. And the king knew that he had officers, advisors who were jealous of the boy and they might want to kill him. So the king called in his army and he told his men, "You guys, you hide in the forest. Don't let my boy see you. But anytime you see he's in danger, you come in and save him and then run away. Don't talk to him. He's not allowed to know that I'm watching over him. He has to learn his lesson." So the boy is walking through the forest looking for berries to eat, thinking about what a rotten father he has who put him out in the forest. And suddenly a wild bear starts charging at him. And the bear is coming. And he doesn't know where to run. He runs behind this tree, behind that tree, and the bear is coming. And suddenly a king soldier comes, kills the bear, and continues riding away. The boy looks. There's my father's soldier. Wow. What a coincidence. He was here just at the right time. Well, that's amazing. That's great. Okay. He continues walking through the forest, muttering, "I wonder why my father did this to me. What kind of father puts a son alone in the forest?" He's walking along, and one of the king's advisors thought he'd take advantage of the opportunity. He comes with an axe. He's coming behind the boy. He figures, "I'll kill him, and then I'll work out the politics. I'll be king after the king." And the boy turns around, and he sees the man with the axe coming towards him, and he doesn't know where to run. He's an adult. He's a kid. A second later, a soldier comes in, kills the advisor, and rides off. The boy says, "Wait a second. Once was a coincidence. Twice? No, 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 no. Now I understand. Really, my father's watching over me. He didn't just put me here in the forest all alone. That didn't happen by mistake." That is the story of Esther. The Jews were in Galut, and what do we say in Megillat Eicha? Lama lanetzach tishkacheinu. Hashem, why should you forget us forever? Did you forget us, Hashem? Hashem says, no. Even when you're out in the Galut, even when you're at a time when it looks like it's all over, Haman makes a decree. What does Hashem say in the Torah? The Anochi, and I, when you misbehave, Hashem says, Haster astir panai mikim. I will hide my face from you. Hashem doesn't just say, Haster, I will hide. Hashem says, Haster astir. That's what the Gemara says. Ester min haTorah minayin. Where does the Torah allude to Esther? Where does the Torah mention Esther? Why does Esther have to be mentioned in the Torah? Esther happened 1,000 years after the Torah was given. Because the concept of Esther is the eternal concept. It's the concept that Hashem says, even when I punish you, you're still my chosen people. That's what it says in the Song of Ha'azinu. Don't think like the boy, "Oh, he put me in the forest, must be he hates me." No. What happens when the boy sees the second time that he's saved? He loves his father. He says, "Wow." Now he loves him even more. Now he understands what's happening. That's what happened by Esther. That's why we say in the time of Esther, the Jewish people accepted the Torah out of love. When Hashem gave them the Torah the first time, they said, "The written law will accept. But the oral law, why should we listen to rabbis? Who wants to listen to rabbis? We don't want the Torah Shebal Peh. Leave it. We don't need rabbis telling us what to do." Hashem picks up the mountain and says, "You listen to the rabbis. You have to take the Torah Shebal Peh." When came Megillat Esther, and they saw Esther and Mordechai, and everyone's risking their lives, and they were right. Mordechai was right. He said, "You guys don't bow to Haman and don't let him do what he's saying." And then they saw Mordechai was right. He saved the day. Then they said, "Now we see Hashem loves us. That's why Hashem put us here." And then they accepted the Torah b'simcha. What is that recognition? Hashem is running the show, even when we don't see him. How do we become Ezu Ashira Sameach b'chelko? How do we become Sameach? What did we say? When we recognize that Hashem is the one that gave us this chelik. So why is it that Mishenichnas Adar Marbim b'simcha? Because the whole idea of Adar is recognizing that Hashem is running the show. Even when everything seems covered, even when it looks like we're in the forest and things are tough. There's a joke they tell, which is really, it's not a joke, it's a very deep concept. A guy comes up to heaven, and God shows him his life as a beach. And on the beach there are footsteps. You guys know the story? There are footprints in the sand. Two footprints. One next to the other. God says, "This is my footprint, this is your footprint." And next to each pair of footprints, you see, God says, there are two footprints there. One's for me, one's for you. And next to each pair of footprints, there is a story that happened in your life. And you see that I was with you throughout your life. So the guy starts reviewing his life, and suddenly he reaches a point where it was tough in his life, and he sees one footprint alone. He continues again, two footprints, two footprints, two footprints. Again, a point where it was tough in his life, one footprint alone. Time after time, every time life is difficult, he sees only one footprint. So he turns to God and he says, God, how come every time it's difficult in my life, there's only one footprint? Why'd you leave me at those times? And God says, I didn't leave you, that's my footprint that's there in difficult times. I was carrying you. You have no footprint, I was carrying you. A year and a half ago, we had a child that was born prematurely. He had to be in the hospital month after month. And we had two kids to take care of at home. We were running back and forth and back and forth. I met up with a friend a month ago who told me that he also just had a baby born prematurely and they're running back and forth to the hospital. So I said to him, a year and a half ago, I was there. I was doing that. It's very tough. So he said to me, it's tough, but you know what? If you stop and think about it, Hashem gives you koach to deal with the tough. Hashem gives extra koach when we need it. And you see it. You see it that what you never thought you'd be able to do, suddenly you have koach to do. Avner turns to the Ramban and says, where's my name? The Ramban davens to Hashem, and Hashem points him to the following pasuk. You guys read Hebrew?
I don't understand.
Not in script?
No.
Okay.
Dots. No. In this one, but not dots.
Okay. Amalti, af ehim. God says, I have declared when the Jews are sinning, I will banish them. Ashbita me enosh zichram. I will make them forgotten from humanity. The Ramban tells him, the third letter in each word spells out Avner. Af e. Ashbi me'en zichram. The third letter in each pasuk spells out Avner. Now this story, we didn't finish it yet. I'm just telling you the beginning of the pasuk. This is where Avner's name is spelled. This story is quoted a generation after the Ramban. Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib, the disciple of the Rashba, who was a disciple of the Ramban, quotes the story. It's not a story that's quoted now. It's a story that's quoted 50 years after it happened. So we have a very good source for this story. Avner turns white. Now he stops. And he says, Rebbe, okay, I was wrong. What do I do now? Avner does tshuva. Avner disappeared from the church. He snuck back. He came back to learn. He came back to keeping mitzvot. And then Avner said, but I did many averot in my life. And I really deserve all the punishments of Shamayim. But I want to make it to the world to come. I don't want to suffer later on. So what Avner does is, he takes a rowboat. Avner takes a rowboat. And he sets up on the rowboat. He goes out to sea. And he set up on the rowboat a way to hang himself. And as he was hung, to burn himself. And as he was burnt, to have stones fall on him. He sets up a whole contraption. He says he wants all four death penalties He wants to die with all four death penalties at the same time, so that Ba'olam Haba, he'll have gotten the punishment he deserves. And he went off into sea, and no one ever saw him again. That's the end of the story of Avner. Now, what does it mean that Avner's name appears in the third letter? We know that the first letter of a word can represent the whole word, right? Let's see, what do we say? The first letter represents the whole world. We say, Ditzach Hadash Be'achad, right? The 10 Makos. Ditzach, we say in Pesach, Dam Tzfer De'akinim, right? We say, Tanach, Torah, Nevim, Ketuvim. The first letter could represent the whole word. Sometimes we find in Midrashim that the last letter could represent a whole word. But the third letter, we never find that. What does the third letter mean? Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek ba'olam haba. Every Jew is born as part of the chain of the Jewish people. And even Avner appears in the song of Ha'azinu. It wasn't the first letter of Hashem says, I will banish them, they won't be around. Because his roots, he couldn't uproot. He was still connected to his past. He was still the son of a Jew, and he was still born a Jew. And whatever he did, he couldn't connect himself from his past. It wasn't the last letter, because he couldn't cut off his future. Ultimately, he's still connected to the Jewish people. Whether he likes it or not, he's still connected. The only thing Avner could affect was the time that he was here. We're here for a short time. We have a whole history behind us and a whole future ahead of us. We're given a short time here on earth to take advantage, to accomplish something. We're heading towards Purim. We're heading towards Shabbat. And you guys have a very short time in Yeshiva. You have all 2 weeks here, I was told, right?
10 days.
10 days. You're 10 days in Yeshiva. Now, I want to give you a thought of how to make the most of your 10 days in Yeshiva. First of all, remember the Mishnah we began with. Where are you headed to? You're having 10 days. Take advantage of every day. But part of taking advantage is connecting with what's happening here. One of the ways in which you can make things special is by preparing for them. We say, Hikon likat Elokecha Yisrael. The Navi tells Am Yisrael, prepare towards God. It's not enough to come down. The question is, do we prepare? I once had a guy who... I wanted to tell you his whole story, but we don't have time. Maybe next time. Remind me to tell you about my friend from Ethiopia. He told me how every night, he's a Ger Tzedek. He was born Christian, atheist. He's not from a Jewish family, and he came to Israel. On a different occasion, I'll tell you his whole story. Every night, when he prepares for the next morning for tefillah, he sets up his talit. His tefillin, he takes 3 coins to give tzedakah. We're supposed to give 3 coins, right? You're Sephardim, you guys should know that. 3 coins, Ashkenazi? Okay. You're Sephardim, I was told you're Sephardim. Okay. We're supposed to give 3 coins every day for tzedakah. We say in Baruch Sha'amar and Vayvarech David, I'm sorry, we give tzedakah in preparation for tefillah. He said every night as he sets up his talit, tefillin, 3 coins to give in tzedakah, he already starts feeling the holiness of the prayer. Part of experiencing is preparation. We prepare for prayer. We prepare ourselves, this whole world, for the world to come. But we have a special mitzvah to prepare for Shabbat. If we get something delicious, they put out cookies. If you'll have money to buy good cookies for Shabbat, good. If you won't, the person's supposed to take the special things, put them aside for Shabbat. There's a special mitzvah to prepare for Shabbat. If you take the time to prepare a little bit, if a person comes in 5 minutes before davening and prepares his thoughts, I'm talking to the Ribono Shel Olam, I'm talking to the Creator of the world. If a person prepares himself for the spiritual experiences he's going to have, then they're that much better. When you want to give over to your children how special a Yom Tov is, the question is how you refer to it. If you say, oh, I have to go out and buy matzah, it's so expensive, I have to go out and clean the whole house for Pesach. The preparation That gives the tone to the whole mitzvah. And here, as you experience the Shabbat with the yeshiva, as you experience the tefillah with the yeshiva, and the other mitzvot that you'll be performing here, a major part of being able to really grow out of your experience here is preparation. Take some time to read the Megillah. Take some time before davening to read the tefillah. Take some time before Shabbat. Don't run into Shabbat 10 minutes late. Come into Shabbat an hour early. You'll have a different Shabbat. If you show up to shul 5 minutes early, you'll have a different davening. Hikun, preparation. So let's just summarize what we discussed today. This world is the in-between to the Olam Haba. We discussed the story of Rav Dichovsky Dvir. We discussed Olam Haba. Lo amut ki yechye v'asaper ma'aseka. We discussed the song of Hazinu. Every Jew appears in the song. Every person has to make his life a song for Hashem. We're each given strengths and gifts. How could we be samech if we recognize it's chelko, it's the portion Hashem gave me? Purim, Adar, is the month where we see that even in times of darkness, even in the woods, like that child by the king, we could see that Hashem is the one that's running the show. And that leads us to bigger simcha. And we said when it comes to mitzvot, in order to get more out of the mitzvot that we're here, preparation is one of the keys. Shabbat shalom, yeshiva, and I'll see you next week.